Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome again to another edition of Liberty Unbridled. I am your host, Ken Mulman, and this is the My View Matters Radio Network. We've got a full slate on board tonight, and we'll get started right away here on a serious note. Condolences to the family of Will Schroeder, former Supreme Court Justice who resigned a few months ago. He was having some medical issues, and he has passed away. He apparently passed away this weekend. And he was only 67 years old, which is unfortunate. He had a brain tumor, and that's unfortunate. We send our condolences to his family. So to lighten things up a little bit before we get too serious, again, the random political phrase generator this week has generated the following statement. Unlike myself, my opponent wants an America where socialists and corrupt politicians can undermine our big box retail stores. Always entertaining. So the let's see here. Boy, what a week. And I apologize, folks. Work's been absolutely killing me, my real job. And they've been working me like a dog. And it sounds like it's that way everywhere. And the last time this happened, I thought that we were going to be hitting some sort of economic recovery, because in 2000 it was kind of the same way, or the early 2000s rather, where as things started to heat back up, the economy started going again, people got really busy. The people who had jobs started getting crushed, and I know a number of folks in the Liberty community in general have been. It's been a very, very busy time for a lot of folks. So I don't know if that's a sign that the economy is recovering. I thought this was happening two or three years ago when things were really busy, and it never came to fruition. So I don't know. We'll get to some of that tonight. I think the key problem is that we're not going to see a recovery until the individual mandate hits, employer mandate for Obamacare hits, and employers know what that means for them, and they adjust. And I think that that's what we're kind of all waiting on. And with the delay of the implementation of that mandate, I think we're just sitting here in a holding pattern waiting until that happens. I should mention right away, if you want to call in tonight about any of the topics that are on tap or anything in general, and holy cow, we're getting lit up with calls here all of a sudden. The number here is area code 858-683-1326. Again, 858-683-1326. And we'll bring a call on, see what they have to say. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. How you going?
Doing all right. You?
I'm not doing too bad. I'm a bit ill, but that's not neither here nor there. You guys talking about public scrutiny?
Talk about lots of different things, but what in particular are you looking at?
I was just calling in to share my opinion on, like, how the public in general decides to judge the, general consensus of the not only government but political figures, as well as social figures and stuff like that. You interested in what I have to say?
Sure, go ahead.
I just think that, it's stupid that, people like, Miley Cyrus and all these people cop a lot of shit because they get shat on constantly by the public, where we had somebody like Michael Jackson going around, like, we were literally supplying him children to diddle, and the whole world loved him, Like, I just think it's a bit of it's bullshit how one person gets to just diddle as many kids as possible and be like the icon of the world, and the other person is just some dumb little slut showing her tits in places and stuff like that, and everybody hates her. Like, maybe we should start giving Miley Cyrus some children to diddle, and then what would happen is that she would become more popular, people would become, like, accept her more, and I'm sure those kids that she diddled would actually become better people just by themselves, like them people that Michael Jackson fucked became better people, and they got to become on TV, and the whole world knows them now, and it's a win-win situation for everybody involved. I mean, and let's be honest, if you're a three-year-old person, who wouldn't want to fuck Miley Cyrus? Like, honestly, I mean, you might get chlamydia, syphilis, and gonorrhea.
All right, thank you very much for your call. Folks, if you're calling into the show, I do ask that you keep the language to a minimum. We do have caller or listeners that are underage in that, and I appreciate your thoughts on the matter. I think that in general, we've got a issue with society in general, and there is a lot of folks out there. There are a lot of folks that put importance on things that aren't really that important. I mean, you know, the Miley Cyrus thing is, in my opinion, just a real big distraction to what's going on. Now, certainly you can't escape it. It's all over the news. And, you know, anytime I go to a bar, there's always somebody who decides that they're going to be funny and play that stupid Wrecking Ball song. And, boy, that's annoying. trust me, it was never funny. But there are a lot of real problems that we have in the country. There are a lot of real issues and real concerns out there that we need to be focused on. And, you know, while certainly there is something to be said about social commentary and society's oftentimes conflicting ways that they judge different people, I think that in the end, in the end, you got to do what's right for you, but at the same time, you know, you have to respect the rights of others too. And so, you know, Miley Cyrus doing her thing, whatever, that's her thing to do. And good luck to her. I saw a really good article from Sinead O'Connor about that. And basically Sinead O'Connor was saying that, you know, Miley Cyrus is being used by the music industry and she should wake up. And I think that those are the type of voices that are kind of the natural check and balance, if you will, on that type of behavior, that you will have voices speak out and try to point people in the right direction. And in many ways, we have that in our personal lives. You know, obviously with Miley Cyrus or Michael Jackson or any of the celebrity types, lots of people feeding lots of input in lots of different directions. But even in our own personal lives, you know, when we're making mistakes, when we're heading down the wrong path, there's always signs. There's always people, maybe not directly smacking you upside the head, but sometimes that way. But there are always signs and whispers and clues that you're heading down the wrong path, and that you have to be open to hear those clues and those things to be able to identify that and reassess your life and reassess your thoughts and what you're doing. And, you know, in many ways, that's how I came to where I am politically, was questioning everything. Looking at what do I really believe? Am I doing the right thing? Am I leading the life that I want to lead? Am I heading the right down the path that I want to go? And certainly, you know, not everything in my life is as I would like it to be. I'd love to be rich and not have to work and not have to do all those things. But the point is that at the end of the day, you have to be able to live with yourself and be able to do what's right by you without taking or harming others is the goal. I'm going to take another call here from the 502 area code, if it'll let me bring them on. There we go. 502, you're on the air.
Hello, Ken. How was the convention?
Hey, Don, it was very good. Don is referring to the Libertarian Party of Kentucky. Had a convention this past weekend, or actually yesterday, to do some technical changes to its internal bylaws and whatnot, and that went well. It was cleaned up well. We've got a bunch of people in the queue, Don, so go ahead and go for it.
All right. The question I wanted to ask is this. You referring to that, how do you know, have any idea what's true, what you read, especially since the government is the source of so much information? Now, you can reply to that in general, and specifically what I want to go to is that there have been some reports coming from Fukushima that they had at least three different core meltdowns there. I saw one videotape in which they showed a conversation with Michio Kaku claiming that the situation is very grave, that there's been a massive die-off of fish all over the, Pacific, and and the situation is very fragile, that if there's some type of fire or earthquake or whatever, you could have an extinction event killing several billions of people. So,
yep. Well,
Have you heard the same thing?
I've actually been trying to follow up on the Fukushima stuff, and the information that's out there is very limited. Very obviously, they don't want that in the news very much. You know, Don, this gets to a broader point on the whole thing, in that when governments own these nuclear reactors, the problem is there's not a proper set of checks and balances. You know, the reality is these old rod-style reactors are dangerous. And, you know, every type of meltdown that we've really experienced and heard about has been these old rod-style reactors. You know, there are new nuclear technologies that are far safer. And were it for the public or the private sector working these things, combined with if they were actually held accountable for the damage that they do, you would see the phase out of these rod-style reactors very, very quickly. And I think you would see a replacement with those reactors with either a pebble-style reactor or some of the new thorium-style reactors that they're working on. I think that that's probably the long-term for nuclear power, is to get rid of these old rod-style reactors that are so dangerous and do pose a threat. I mean, there's no doubt. You know, you look at Chernobyl, you look at Fukushima, you look at Three Mile Island, all this stuff is the rod-style reactors. And the problem is that once the reaction gets going, there's so much material that it's hard to get it to stop. So how do you fix that problem? Well, don't put so much freaking material into the reactor, right? That's a real easy, common sense solution. Okay, if it goes meltdown, then how do you make it so it's not so bad? And again, I think a lot of this goes back to culpability and responsibility. You know, if these companies in Japan were held responsible for the ecological damage that they're doing, the environmental damage that they're doing, you would see very quickly people, any of the private rod-style reactors would shut down very, very quickly. You know, the real problem here, and I haven't checked the law in many years now, it's been a while, but in the United States, if a privately run nuclear reactor melts down, do you know who's responsible for that, Don?
Well, the Price-Anderson Act has limited liability, which means that the government ends up paying for it.
Exactly. And that's the problem, because liability is the ultimate check and balance on bad behavior. If you want people to act better, then they have to be held accountable for their actions. And so long as somebody else is footing the bill, so long as it's not my fault, you know, hey, if it melts down, whatever, other than the fact that, like, the BP oil spill is the same deal, right? Oil well explosion out there. That was another situation where liability was artificially capped by the government. And the reality is they said, well, we had to do that because then nobody would have been drilling there. And my answer to that is, sounds like there probably shouldn't have been anybody drilling there then. You know, I mean, if it's that dangerous to be drilling there and we see what happens, that situation should have never occurred because the drillers would have never have been there to begin with because the risk was too high. And, again,
well, I
accountability
understand
is the ultimate check and balance of bad behavior.
Yeah, and this is, you know, a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking, and, of course, we can put in certain reforms. But, you see, here's what I'm worried about. You read something online or even in the established media that there is a potential danger. And so how do you know it's real or not? Because there are some people who just love being alarmists.
You're absolutely right, Don. I mean, I've been in the media myself, and it's very, very frustrating to see that there are, even when a story is written well, some of the technical details are slightly off. Stories that are not so well written, the technical details can be wildly off. And it is very, very difficult to find out what's really going on. And all I can tell you is if you're really interested in a subject, you need to try to research it and research it back to its source. And we do have the power of the Internet today, which I think is great. It gives us the ability to do that research. In the past, you would have had your local paper, and you would have just had to say, well, I guess that's what's happening because the local paper says so. Today, we have the ability to do that research. It's just a matter of, are you willing to do it? And, of course, the media still spoon feeds, and the government agencies and private companies and all those folks are always trying to spoon feed some sort of PR, some sort of propaganda into the hearts and minds of the public. But the public's responsibility is to be able to see through that and to be able to dig deeper and find the real answers. And that's the unfortunate reality of what we've got, is that we're always going to be spewed at with some sort of talking point. It's up to us, personal responsibility, right, to look into those issues and dig deeper. But it's very frustrating. You fight these folks that are being spoon-fed
yeah.
talking points, and it's, you know.
Well, basically, you have to choose very carefully what your media is. And
yes.
in politics,
consider your
of course,
source.
You and I are, even though, you know, you and I agree on certain things, we get, you know, non-libertarian sources into our information feed to basically to confirm or maybe just introduce us to things that libertarians don't usually talk about. And that's all well and good, but, you know, when it comes to, let's say, science, in which, you know, you're evaluating whether should I live next to a nuclear reactor, should I, for example, do something about the water because it has fluoride in it, or let's say, you know, not consume or do consume additional things, all that kind of stuff. And when you know, for example, that there are very powerful interests that basically tell you not to look at certain things, then, you know, it becomes important, you know, in just figuring out who the heck you're going to trust. And I have noticed, by the way, that, you know, you would expect libertarians, you know, not to care about GMOs. But most libertarians that I know are very concerned about GMOs and won't touch them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we can't even start to rekindle the GMO fight tonight. We don't even have enough time.
How do you find out people, you know, good scientists who have, you know, who are solid on their things? And you'll find libertarians
yeah.
on, you know, on both sides of an issue very often. But it's just
right.
finding
and scientists
those good
on
sources.
Both sides. And sure, no, and you know, at the end of the day, you know, a topic like GMO especially is going to come down to what do you think is right. Because mm-hmm. there are, I think, like a number of other debates within libertarian and outside of libertarian communities, there are valid points on both sides or multiple sides of the argument. And it
mm-hmm.
simply becomes a matter of, at the end of the day, what do you believe, doing what's right for you, doing what you believe is
okay.
the correct thing to do, and it's the onus back on you for that research. I mean, that's...
yeah.
We're never going to solve the GMO problem. We're never going to solve a lot of these problems that are out there, whether they're real or artificially created problems to begin with. It's going to be left to individuals to make decisions. So,
right. Well, I just hope,
Don,
you know, I just wanted to leave it out there, you know, for that. I know that, you know,
yeah.
maybe people might friend me on Facebook and feed me some stuff on some of these issues that I've raised, like the Fukushima thing. But, you know, if you talked about anything besides changing some rules at the convention, you might want to talk about that tonight as well. And so
yeah.
thanks a lot, Ken.
No problem, Don. Thank you for calling in. And
okay.
here we go. Sorry. We've got a load of people here. All right. Let's see here. Next up on the list, caller, area code 661. You're on the air.
I came in like the rainbow.
All right. It's one of those nights. Wonderful. All right. Folks, if you'd like to call in, number here is area code 858-683-1326. Again, 858-683-1326. Let's see here. This says it's international. You're on the air.
Hey there, man.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, hey. Sorry for about, you know, there seems to be one of those nice on Troll Talk where you get a whole bunch of people trying to just troll, I guess, but I guess the main thing I was calling into is that, I mean, in America, do you feel like you're told a lot about your government's kind of screw-ups like we are? I mean, here in the UK, we the BBC is very critical of the American government. Do you get critical sources of the American government and, like, corporate issues over there, or is it just an outside-looking end view?
Well, it's funny you mention that because there's been a lot of talk, and as Don alluded to in the last call, you know, there's a lot of talk about different sources of news. And what's interesting is that more and more we're finding better sources of information about what's going on inside the states here from news sources outside the states. you know, the most obvious one is Glenn Greenwald there in the UK, exposing the NSA for what they're doing on as far as spying on everyone in America and actually throughout the world, it seems. You know, certainly here in America, the media did not want to pick up on that story. They at first kind of poo-pooed the whole thing and didn't really want to, you know, even really touch it. And I think part of that is because the government has been bullying our media outlets here in the States, which obviously then limits what they're willing to touch. There are also other pressures involved. The Internet's got the old-style media just all in a tizzy here in the States. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to adapt to modern technology, and so they're still trying to apply, you know, old 1800s-style news media to 21st century technology. So I think that it is important to have good sources of information, as Don mentioned in the previous call, to be sure you're try to get as much information as you can.
Yeah, totally. One of the main things I found, though, as a problem is that I've been watching some. Whenever the British government when they balls up, when they Shrek up, they run a news story about it's what the same news story over and over again. It's different context all the time, but they run a news story about either it's somebody coming out as a paedophile, an onion farmer. Basically using making bombs in his farm, in his swamp, or a story targeting blacks, and that those are the three main stories that they use here in the UK to divert things away from interest. Like did you hear about I know you guys had Trayvon Martin over there. Did you hear about Mr. Daniel Martinez in the UK?
I did not hear about him, no.
Oh, well, here in the UK, they were making Daniel Martinez was killed by a Mr. Zimmerman, and he was made, basically, it kind of sent up the country in storm, and everybody was divided between things like even companies started selling meals, like the Simmering Zimmerings, and like the Simmering Zimmer Burger and the Flim Flam meals, and It was all very spectacular. And then when Sandy Hook shooting happened, people were selling Adam Lanza burgers. It's just seeming like the UK is becoming a corporate hub, which our kind of news outlets are kind of riding on the back of.
Well, and I apologize. I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you because you're a little bit away from the microphone and that, but. Did you say you're worried that the UK is becoming more corporate at the end?
Yeah. I mean, when Trayvon Martin got shot, we had the Simmering Zimmer Wings, and like KFC was selling Simmering Zimmer Wings, and McDonald's was selling the Trayvon Martin iced tea special, and it was quite a very corporate affair.
Yeah, I mean, in general, you know, and I think the UK and the US share a problem in this regard, in that, and I've talked about this on the show in the past, is the corporatism, where you have government and corporations working together, and whenever that happens, the folks, the people, are the ones that suffer, that they are not the ones whose interests are being looked out for. I do think that there's been quite a bit of there's been a number of attempts to try to distract people from some of the bigger issues that are out there. You know, here in the U.S., one of the big issues that's looming is our ballooning debt. And, you know, over in Europe, I know that the euro is in trouble, that a number of nations over there are in deep trouble. Now, you guys in the U.K. were smart. You guys didn't join the euro, right? No part of the U.K. joined the euro. You're still using the pound, correct?
Yeah, we're still using the pound sterling.
So that's probably okay. That'll work out in your favor over the long term for sure. You know, but there's a number of euro countries that are in deep trouble and dragging the euro down. You know, the U.S., we've been spending money and printing money and making money, you know, just out of thin air like it's been going out of style for the last 5 or 6 years. And at some point, these economic policies are going to have a negative ramification. And one of the interesting economic theories that I've heard out there is about first-use money and the theories of inflation. And what we're seeing is that when the government does bailouts, when the government funds certain things directly with money that they've just created, we end up with a scenario where they get the highest use out of that money because the system hasn't adjusted the value of a dollar yet because they're the first users of that money. And so what we're seeing is that as our dollar here in the U.S. has been devalued by the fact that they just keep making more of them, the people who are benefiting the most are the corporations who get to use those dollars first, and the people who are left holding, you know, the bag, if you will, are the individual citizens who eventually it gets down to. So I do have a very serious concern about the level of coordination between the government and corporations. Now, I'm not anti-corporation per se, but I am definitely anti-cronyism, and I do not believe that the government should be creating laws that favor corporations over individuals, nor should they be creating laws that favor certain corporations over others. It should just be a blank, easy law to deal with.
Yeah, I totally agree. In the UK, we have a system a little bit like that, which is it's kind of only just come in. It's called the Hickory Grove system. And effectively, 75 Hickory Grove Road, Foster's KY41043-8828 is the bill that passed it. And it's a bill that effectively brings out it allows certain government companies to get the British pounds before people. And
right.
I mean, it's a system just like you have, except these higher-up companies can actually take it out of a bank account to blow it down companies.
Right, and so they're getting the benefit of those newly created pounds in that scenario, you know, without having the inflationary effect on their other pounds immediately. So, you know, that's something that we definitely, and I think that that's a trend we're seeing somewhat worldwide, that we're starting to see more and more of these corporate government conglomerations, if you will, and they're not necessarily, in some cases they are very formal, but in other cases they're not formal, but through the actions of government and through the laws that they're passing, as you said, that law that lets certain companies have access to the money first, that's exactly the type of law that's destroying individual liberty, because they're taking and robbing us of value. The dollars that we have are being robbed of value, while other corporations are being get the benefit of those policies. So we're basically, everyone else is suffering so that a handful of companies can profit and survive. Do you have anything else you want to add? I got a ton of callers in the queue, so I just want to get through these. I apologize.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't mind, if I just read out a bill code, so if people want to look it up and they can get a little bit more educated on it. It's bill number 859-472-6472. That's the bill number for the Act of Parliament. And if you just look that up on the British parliamentary website, you can find the bill. Or give it a punch into your number, into your phone. It should text you the bill number.
All right. Thank you for the call. All right. Whatever that was about. Anyway, so, all right. Folks, we're at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to take a break. And when we get back, we'll continue. We have a ton of stuff to get to. If you're in the hold queue, I'm going to try to get to you after the break, but we do have a ton of news to get to. You are listening to Liberty on Bright on the My View Matters Radio Network, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Hold on tight.
So you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent you.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
All right, folks, and we're back. You are listening to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters radio network, and we're carrying on here. We've got a bunch of stuff to cover, so we're going to try to get that covered first before we get back to the callers. I had a whole show worth of stuff ready to go anyway. So to start out here, the the trusting government is a real problem at this point. People don't trust government. The polls are showing that people more so than ever don't trust our government, and there's, I think, very good reasons for that. You see things like there's a story here about the EPA and how the new carbon emission standards that are being put in place, they admit, aren't going to actually reduce CO2 or change CO2 emission rates, notably, between now and 2022. And people then also are realizing, and by now everybody's received their notice, that their power rates are going up next year. Mine in particular is going up pretty significantly because we're fed by coal plants that are specifically run on coal power from eastern Kentucky, and they're shutting down a plant or two over there. Now, I think that my opinion, of course, is that I'm not a proponent of air pollution of any sort, whether it's CO2 or something far worse. I think the real problem with this whole shutdown of coal plants and whatnot is there's not really a plan. I mean, if you're going to force coal plants to shut down, okay, but there should be a transition phase. Right now, they're trying to put more hydroelectric plants on the Ohio River. And in fact, I ran into somebody on Thursday or Friday who is one of the chief engineers in inspecting water flow and figuring out, you know, where, if there's enough flow to actually put the hydroelectric in and where they need to tap in to the water flow and et cetera. And I'm a huge proponent of hydroelectric power. I think that it's probably the greenest, safest, smartest power that's out there and available. The ecological harm, as it were, is very, very minimal. And the water is going that way anyway. And so long as the water is going that way anyway, we might as well harness that power and turn it into usable electricity. I think that that's a smart, logical thing to do. My problem is that the coal plants are shutting down next year, but the hydroelectric plants are not going to be ready for 3 or 4 years. And so there's going to be this lurch, this time where we have less power being fed into the grid. And that's going to cause price spikes. It could cause brownouts. It could cause rolling blackouts. It could cause all kinds of unnecessary harm that could be avoided were we afforded the opportunity to say, yeah, okay, these old plants, yeah, they're a little bit dirty, but it's not like we're making new ones, and it's not like we're burning more than we used to. So as long as we've got this transition phase, I think that that's probably the smarter policy, but government doesn't work that way. And I think that's the real problem. You look at, there's another story here I just saw right before the show about a high school or high school cheerleaders that, you know, you see these folks doing the car washes to raise money. And this is a high school cheerleading troop that wants to raise money by doing a car wash. Well, they've been told that the water from the car wash causes excessive runoff, and therefore it's illegal, and they can't use a car wash as a mechanism to raise money. And I think that's just silly. I don't see a logic behind that. And it goes back to the whole having to have a license to have a lemonade stand issue. There's a point where government regulations become ridiculous. You know, the reality is that some teenage kids doing a car wash for 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever it is not going to cause any sort of even remote ecological damage unless they're using some sort of crazy abrasive, you know, nasty chemicals on the car, and people wouldn't want their cars washed with that stuff anyway. It's just punitive, silly regulations that they go past the level of common sense. Yes, no one wants pollution. You know, I can walk into any crowd and say, hey, anybody who's for pollution, please raise your hand. And no one's going to raise their hand. Of course not. No one's for pollution. But there has to be common sense applied as part of the measuring stick here. And that's what's missing, because government is involved and government doesn't apply common sense. And that's the problem. These water issues are all over the place. The EPA has been cracking down on the water companies and cracking on communities about wastewater, and that's the genesis of all these things, which then in turn also costs the ratepayers, the people who are using the water and sewer services, to have to pay more because these standards are higher and higher and higher. Now, I think you could have a conversation locally about, hey, how good do you want your water to be? You know, does the water company, do the people there want their water to be more pure than it is, right, especially on the supply side of the water? That's a conversation that should be decided locally. What we have now is the EPA is putting in regulations forcing communities to upgrade their water to levels that are cleaner than they've ever been, which, again, I think that's a decision to be made locally. I'm not against cleaner water, but I think it's something that needs to be handled locally. And maybe a community does want it, maybe a community doesn't want it. But with the community input, it's then the community decision to make the water cleaner rather than a government mandate. And it does matter how this happens, because people are getting cut out of the conversation. This is bureaucrats putting it down on other bureaucrats that you will do this. And then those other bureaucrats go to the people and say, well, we've got to do this because these other bureaucrats said we have to. And the people are not in the conversation. And in fact, there's a story here, and this is from back in September, and I've had this kind of hiding out waiting for this topic in a broader sense. In the city of Fresno, California, there's people actually fighting these water rate increases, as they should be, right? I mean, again, this is part of the conversation that should have been had, and had it been a different tone, I think you wouldn't even see this happening. But there's people fighting the water rate increases. And in turn, the city is now threatening to sue those people for having the audacity to put forward an initiative to stop the water rate increases. That's insane. They're being sued or being threatened with a lawsuit for using their rights, and that's wrong. And again, that's why people have less and less trust in their government. You have all these policies that are just insane. The NSA, I mean, we touched on this a little bit earlier. The NSA, it came out and basically said that the NSA surveillance programs that we have today, the ones that interfere with our individual rights, the ones that are monitoring innocent people and treating them as though they may be guilty, would not have foiled or would not have prevented 9/11 and haven't foiled a single terror plot. Now, there's one instance where they say, well, we got information from this surveillance, and that helped us catch these people who were making a plot. But the reality is, if you look into the story a little deeper, again, as Don mentioned earlier, you have to look deeper than the main stories. If you look at the story a little deeper, the law enforcement community already had more than enough information. They were already heading down the path of investigating these folks. The NSA, yeah, okay, maybe it's one more check of, yep, you really need to go check on those guys. But the reality is these guys would have been caught anyway. And so we're basically spending billions of dollars having our rights taken away from us in the name of security and ostensibly getting nothing in return. Nothing at all. And, you know, whatever. So anyhow, it shouldn't surprise you that we have more and more people that are distrusting government. The Obamacare fight. We had the shutdown for a little over 2 weeks, and that ended with absolutely nothing really changing, which didn't make a heck of a lot of sense. And I think that that's got people even more frustrated that what was the shutdown even for? You know, there was nothing that really came out of the shutdown. There's people upset with Mitch McConnell here in Kentucky because they're calling it the Kentucky kickback, where part of the bill that went through to refund everything included $2 billion, I think it was, to build a dam out near Paducah. And, you know, let's not argue over whether that was necessary or not, but the point is that that wasn't what the shutdown was supposed to be about. It wasn't supposed to be about getting a $2 billion dam built out of the Paducah area. It was supposed to be about funding Obamacare, yes or no. And I think that it's ironic now, and news here in the past few days, now there's Democratic senators who are saying, hey, maybe we should delay the individual mandate after all. And many of them are just talking about pushing out the enrollment period and whatnot, because the website's been a complete mess. And the reason for that is that they're requiring you to sign up for an account before you can look at the rates. They don't want you to rate shop. And I think that's hilarious. They don't want you to rate shop the exchange plans versus other plans you can get elsewhere. Well, why not? I mean, if it's supposed to save money, why not? Why not let people shop it? It's what harm can be done from doing that? And on top of all that, part of this deal, that this grand bargain that was done, oh, he just dropped off. I was just going to get to him. There was a caller in the queue that wanted to talk about the debt ceiling thing as well. You know, that was part of this deal too. So basically, the debt ceiling went up. Obamacare got funded. there's now backtracking on the part of Democrats who had originally defended the whole thing. And nothing changed. It's 16 days. And we talked about this a lot last week. Nothing good came of it. I don't get it. And the other thing on the website was, since I mentioned this, there was a story that came out that Obamacare's website, the exchange website, the national, used some freeware code in part of it, which they're allowed to do. It's GNU-released code. But part of the restrictions on using GNU code is that you have to keep the author information in the code. And they've proven that the code is identical, but they've scraped out the author information. And it's like, really? I mean, why do you do such things? It's a violation of copyright to do that, because the way GNU works is you can use this, but you can't change the copyright information. And if you make improvements, then you have to resubmit them to the community. And I think that's acceptable. I think that's reasonable. It's just kind of funny. You know, I don't know. I don't get why we went through the whole shutdown if all we were going to get was nothing. Nothing changed. What was the point? I don't get it. And so it should be no surprise that government, the trusting government, is at a low. And I would venture to say, got this poll that basically says exactly that, right? That support is at an all-time low. And I would say that chances are very good that it's even lower now, because this poll was taken before the shutdown. I don't get it. I don't understand. Government is so inherently messed up at this point. And the powers, the establishment, like to blame the Tea Party for this. And the Tea Party has taken a brunt in public circles for this. But the reality is, this is just plain old dysfunctional government. It's not the Tea Party that has bureaucracies out telling other bureaucracies what to do that then have to turn around and tell the people what to do. That's not the Tea Party. Key ingredient in why people think government is not serving them, because government is mandating what to do without their input. That's not the Tea Party. That's the political establishment. It's just amazing to me. The number of people now I'm trying to find this here. Trusting government is at 19% right now. And it's really no surprise to me. Again, I would bet you that if this poll was run right now, it would be even lower because the shutdown was literally for nothing, nothing. And this is having some interesting political ramifications. You know, in Virginia this year, there is a gubernatorial race. This is their year for gubernatorials. In Kentucky, we do ours in 13, or odd-numbered years as well, but we did ours 2 years ago. They do theirs this cycle. So basically every 4 years, we're offset by two. The Democrat that's in the race is Terry McAuliffe. Now, he was a big Clinton guy, not really much else than that. He was, I think, a former DNC chair, I think, under while Clinton was in office. I believe McAuliffe was the DNC chairman. And then you have a guy named Ken Cuccinelli, who is the former attorney general, Republican. And both of them, and this is hilarious, the negative ads have been so bad towards each other that only 31% of Virginians have a positive view of McAuliffe, and 37% have a clear negative assessment. For Cuccinelli, it's even worse. And I'm trying to find those numbers here again, but he's got, here it is here, 33% favorable and 47% unfavorable. Now, I can tell you, and it's really funny because in this race, there's also a libertarian in this race. So it's a three-way race. And the Republicans are making an all-out assault on the libertarian candidate, keeping them off the out of the debates, doing everything they can to keep the libertarian out of the public eye. But I've been following this, and I've been watching the polls. Man, this race is almost over. I mean, unless McAuliffe does something really stupid in the next week and a half or so, it's over. McAuliffe is polling at over 50% of likely voters. Cuccinelli is polling at under 40%. And when you have a negative favorability rating of 47%, so that, in other words, 47% of the people that are going to be electing you have an unfavorable view of you, it's going to be really hard to win. You basically have to gather every other person's vote. And that's not really an easy task at all. The Libertarian candidate is polling at, depending on what you believe, between 7 and 12%. Most people think it's sitting around 10%, which is about the average, and he's been gradually going up. The average on Real Clear Politics has been going up and up and up. And the Republicans have been out, especially, beating the drum that this guy, you know, Sarvis is stealing the votes. Oh, my gosh, he's taking away our vote, sure. But the reality is he's not. What's killing the Republicans is the negativity rating because they have too high of one. 47% negative, that's bad. McAuliffe is at, again, 37% negative, and many people have attributed that to why the Libertarian candidate, Sarvis, is doing so well, because Sarvis has been way outspent. Sarvis has spent less than $100,000, while the other candidates have spent millions of dollars. And Sarvis has only been able to run one ad so far, although there is a PAC now that has gotten involved and is running ads on behalf of Sarvis. But I really don't think that if you look at the polling data, no matter what, the Republican can't win. And the general feeling out there, and based on the story and based on everything in general that I'm seeing in Virginia, it's not that people are for McAuliffe. They're literally viewing him as the lesser of two evils. And the problem with that is nobody's really going to be happy with what comes out of this. Even the people that are going to end up voting for McAuliffe, who I do think is going to end up winning this race, are not going to be real happy about it. It's just what it is. And it's unfortunate that more voters weren't exposed to the Libertarian candidate. I think especially that particular candidate is more of a moderate Libertarian. I think that the Libertarians would have been poised to gather upwards of 20%, if not more, of the vote. And we're seeing other places. You know, Obama's approval ratings are down lower than 50% and moving back down. The point being that people in general are very upset with the direction of the country. They're very upset with where things are going. And I think there's very good reasons for that. People don't feel like they're in touch or in control of their government. And that's something sacred to Americans. Americans have always wanted to have control over their government. And it's not there. It's just not there. So when you have when you have people not in control of government, feel like they're not in control, when you have a government shutdown that does nothing, when you have candidates from Republicans and Democrats that are more hated than liked, when you have ridiculous regulations that prevent 10-year-old kids from running a lemonade stand or having high schoolers able to run a car wash, all this stuff adds up. It all builds up. And it becomes about people not feeling like the government properly represents them, that the government isn't doing the right thing, that the government is just wrong. And what's interesting more than anything is that in the past, a lot of the anger or the jealousy or whatever it is of the general public was pointed towards federal employees. And the poll showed that federal employees, right, the everyday guy working at the IRS or the everyday guy working at whatever, you know, ABC bureaucracy, is not the target of the ire of the public at large anymore. It's the elected officials. And in many ways, that makes sense. The public officials are the ones that empower the bureaucracies to do what they do. The public officials are the ones that write the laws. And they're the ones who have the ability to reel in the government and to change the bureaucracy. They're the only ones with that power in many cases. Certainly at the federal level, they're the only ones. And here in Kentucky, where we have very limited referenda and initiative rights, it's pretty much on them too, here locally in the state. And so if we're going to see change, if we're going to see things get fixed, if we're going to see things get better, then we're going to have to get better people elected into office. And to do that, it's going to require some very difficult choices for voters. It's going to require the ending of the whole holding your nose and voting for the lesser of two evils. Because we see where that gets us. We've been doing that for a very long time. At one time, there were many candidates on the ballot for many offices. And over the course of the last 100 years or so, there's been a concerted effort to limit choices artificially on the ballot to two, creating this black and white choice, false dichotomy that you must choose one of these two. And it's been beat into people's heads. And it's been tied to that sports mentality of our team or nowhere. And it's been tied into the psychology, the psyche of a nation that, well, I'm not a Democrat, so I must be a Republican, or I'm not a Republican, so I must be a Democrat. But the reality is you don't have to be either one. You can be a libertarian, you could be a constitutional, you could be a green, you could be an independent. I don't really care what you are. But it's going to take the public in general voting smarter, being smarter about what they do, how they do it, and being more actively involved. And I think that we are seeing people more actively involved because, specifically because, the economy continues to be bad. And so long as there is economic problems, we're going to see people stay more and more involved. It's like Carville said, the economy's stupid. And no truer words were ever spoken. People wake up when the economy is bad, when it's affecting their pocketbook, when it's affecting their future. There is no faster way to wake people up and get them to look around and say, hey, wait, what's going on here? Why do I have less money now? Why is my money not going as far as it used to? There's no better way than a bad economy. And so that's what we're seeing. And we're seeing more and more people getting fed up because the left and the right, or rather the Democrats and Republicans, not even left and right, Democrats and Republicans, are not solving the problems. They're too busy trying to win little political battles rather than actually solving problems. Folks, that's the end of the show. I thank you all for listening. Tune in next week again. at 7 o'clock Eastern Time for another edition of Liberty Unbridled. And, of course, listen to the rest of the shows for the week, Monday through Thursday, on the My View Matters Radio Network. Folks, have a good week. Thanks for listening. Take care.